The second passage is we're going to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let's begin. The spirit of resurrection you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adaptation to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Yes, first one we read, it says, Jesus included everyone in his death. So we all, when he goes to the grave, we go together. So our sins can be cleansed. So that everyone could also be included in his life once he resurrected from the graveyard. And we will come back to the life too. That is a resurrection life. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. Our life is different than any other non-believers. Our life is resurrection life. It's not just a good life. It's a far better life than anybody who lives on their own way, their own power, their own knowledge, their own way of lifestyle. But we as a Christian have a different life. We have a resurrected life, just like Jesus Christ has given us and he went through. So the old life is gone, it's no more. A new life emerges in our lives. That's the first passage we read. So it's all based on the resurrection life, which gives us a far better life than people could ever live on their own. So what is the resurrection life? The second passage that we just read, second one, that is resurrection life, is that the spirit of resurrection you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Let me go further down. Let me paraphrase what we just read. Okay, we're talking about a resurrection life because Jesus Christ included us when he goes down to the under the ground. When Jesus Christ died, we died with him because of our sins. And he also included us to his life, just coming back to life and have a new life. And we, old life is gone, a new life is brand new one is given us. And that is the spirit of resurrection. So what is a resurrection life? You receive from God's spirit. It's not a fearful life. You are no longer a slave of fear anymore. Instead, God's spirit makes you his child, and you now related to God as your loving father. See, there's a contrast between the slaves and the son, daughter, child. Resurrection life is not a fearful life, but as a child, as a son, just goes to God and saying, Abba, Father, there's a loving relationship. It's not a fearful life, but it is a fearless life because we have relationship with God as a son and daughter, a child, loving relationship. There's a contrast. We do not fear the Lord. We do not fear about this life that we have it in our lives. So the thing that I want to talk about is that what kind of life we have? The living, the spirit of Easter. Living the spirit of resurrection. Today is Easter Sunday. I want to talk about the living, the spirit of Easter. What is it? What is it? As I have briefly mentioned, that life is a fearless life. It's not a fearful life. It's a fearless living, the spirit of resurrection. What do you see from this picture? Living the spirit of Easter As you can see, this is very peaceful. It's a fearless life, a living. But it's the same ocean. It's a different picture. It's kind of dreadful. It's kind of, you're going to go under the ocean. It's a fearful life that we have. It's a death, not a life. Let's go back to the first century BC. What was the death penalty? We call it capital punishment. In ancient Rome, when Jesus Christ was ministered in Israel, it was under the Roman Empire. They had a rule, they had a law, that there was a death penalty. If there is a riot that were against the government, or the emperor, and that this is the way they treat the people. For every serious crimes, you could be killed by crucifixion. That's a death penalty. Thrown from a cliff or into a river, we just saw the ocean, the picture, and even buried alive. Crucifixion was saved for serious crimes, such as revolt against the empire. Yes, that was a death penalty was given to Jesus Christ. That was the same thing. Jesus Christ included us, everyone, to death. But not only that, that is not the end of the story. God, Jesus Christ, included us also in his life, his resurrection. Well, I just run into the news this week. The South Carolina Department of Correction just released this photo. You can see this picture showing the renovated capital punishment facility as seen from the witness room. This is taking picture from the witness room. This is how it looks like. The firing squad chair is right on your left side. You can see that. It is the covered chair is the electric chair which doesn't move. And this is a different angle. You can see the witness room is behind the electric chair. Because we use some kind of poison, but sometimes it failed for that penalty. So they wanted to go back to the electric chair again, South Carolina. South Carolina death row inmate chose a firing squad for state first execution since 2011. This is reported this week, April 15. South Carolina lawmakers passed a bill that seemed to make the electric chair the default mode of execution. Jesus Christ was executed, not an electric chair, not the poisoning injection through the vein, but it was on the cross. I mean, it's a cruel, it's an unbearable pain that he went through. That's why the Good Friday, as Passion Week, we'll think about how it is so horrible that we supposed to go through for our punishment, our sinful nature, our sinful life. We had to go through all those processes as Jesus Christ went through. That's why we're remembering how sin is so grievous and something that needs to be cleaned up, and we have to be purified. But Jesus Christ took all those death penalty because of our sins. Well, as we can see this picture, wow. We are talking about the spirit of resurrection. We want to live a fearless life, resurrected life. But when we talk about the fear, well, I don't fear anything. I'm not really a very fearful person. When I was preparing this sermon, I had the same idea. What am I fearing about? there's nothing to fear about, anything afraid of. But when I studied further, well, I realized that, oh, wow, I'm sometimes worried about my life. Sometimes I don't get a good night's sleep. And there are so much, you know, concern issues in my life. So, for instance, fear of being unloved. You know, I want to be loved, recognized, you know. We all do. Being out of control, or losing. It's losing something, you know. Losing whether your job or your marriage, or losing your mind, or you being rejected, not being loved, and you being alone. And sometimes, because, you know, I asked a young adult, do you ever feel, you know, fear? You have any experience? You know, sometimes, you know, you want to ask a lady, you know, out for dinner, having a date, but you have a fear that she might say no, you know, rejection. Inadequacy and all the disease, especially this is COVID-19. So we have a fear. We have a fearful life. We've been afraid of something. For me, just like me, I do have a fear of speech, you know, stage fright. We all go through those kind of, if you've been asked to do something, a little speech on the stage, I'm sure you will have that kind of fear too. So it's normal for everybody has this fearful life. But you know what? The fear is a false evidence appearing a real. It looks so real. It feels like it's so real. It's coming at me, but there is no good evidence. Living the spirit Easter is a fearless life, peaceful life. How can we have that kind of freedom? We would like to have that kind of life. Just like we will be. I mean, hopefully this COVID-19 will be go over, and hopefully we'll be forgotten of how we went through all this difficult time. Can we have that? But you know what? In Genesis, when Jesus Christ appeared to Adam and Eve, where are you? After they took the fruit that was forbidden to take. And Adam said, I was afraid, so I hide. That was the first comment by the ever human being have said. That was the first word spoke by the human being. That was, I was afraid, so I hide, right after commit sin. On Easter Sunday, Jesus told Mary Magdalene, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. That was the first word Jesus spoke right after resurrection. I mean, that was angel was spoken to woman. And later Jesus spoke to that woman and other ladies, do not be afraid. But when he appeared to his disciples in the one room, they locked behind the door. The first word was, peace be with you. Don't be afraid. Everybody was afraid, that's why they locked the door. But when Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, he said, don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. So how many times the don't be afraid, the don't be afraid? The phrase was 365 times has been written in the Bible. Just like we have 365 days. That much God wants us to have a peace in our life, everyday life. So why can we now live fearlessly? Why can we now live fearlessly? Because we know that Jesus tells us the truth. Truth. He is not lying to us whatever he's telling us is true. The proof of the resurrection, Jesus Christ resurrected from the death, coming back to life, is going to prove that who Jesus is, the true identity. What is said, what was said in the scripture, he did it everything. So that resurrection proves that whatever he's saying, whatever he said, is truthful. So because of this, is God's word is true, that's why we can live our life, a resurrection life, the spirit of resurrection, without fear. Jesus tells us the truth. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he has been said all the things, especially resurrection. He has proven, he has shown to everybody, he has proved that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one, anointed one, the one who will save all the humanities, human beings on earth from the sins. And we will be able to go to heaven. Why can you now live fearlessly? Whatever Jesus says, I can trust because he is telling the truth. As he proved, he is the Son of God who raised him from the dead to life, as he said. And this resurrection life I receive from God's Spirit is not fearful. It's not only what he said, and not only his resurrection proves, but there was a lot of witness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8 says, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He's telling the truth. He did everything. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. That means you can ask them. They are still there. They're still alive. They have witnessed Jesus Christ's resurrected body. You can ask them. More than 500 people. It's not just one person at the same time. It is proven, it is true, and whatever God has told us was true. And it is true. It will be true. That's why we can have this resurrected life. Life of resurrection. The spirit of resurrection without fear. Though some have died by now, but then he was seen by James and later by all of the apostles. Last of all, I, the Paul, saw him too. Wow, there were so many witnesses. So because he already done what the scripture said and what he said he's going to do, and it was proven. So Jesus is telling us the truth, and we can live fearlessly, unfearful, not a fearful life, and with that spirit of resurrection. Any problem we have, anything that we are afraid of, losing something, don't be afraid. I'm telling the truth, and you will have resurrected life, and you will have that setback from comeback. You will have God's blessing. Secondly, because we know that death is not the end, we do afraid of being dying. We're getting old, it's approaching to the end of our lives. And death is not the end. The scripture says, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Jesus died and resurrect in order to break Satan's power of death and to free all who have lived enslaved to the fear of dying. Fear of dying. Fear of dying. We're not going to be sitting on that electrified chair. We're not going to be on the cross. We are free of all those things that we've been enslaved to, the fear of dying. So that is not the end. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no fear of dying. God has a wonderful plan for us. That is not the end. That is not the end. Do you remember that when Jesus Christ praying at Gethsemane, He said to His disciples, "I feel as if I am dying." He felt it. He really had a fear of dying. Fear of dying. Jesus Christ has the same fear that we had and we have. But we are free from those fear of dying, because God, Jesus Christ, resurrected in order to break Satan's power of death. Most of all, not only that, then after that, what is going to happen to us? It's our salvation, the everlasting life. It is guaranteed? Yes, indeed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5, 4 and 5. The Living Bible translation says, "And God has reserved for His children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in His mighty power, will make sure that you get the safety and security to receive it, because you are trusting Him." You know, we do have many hope, beliefs, expectation. But usually we disappointed, because it's our nature. It's a broken world. Any promise can be broken. But this is God's promise. This is what He is going to do. We have hope in God. We have hope in God. We just read the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, but right before that verse 3, it says, "Now we live in the hope of eternal life, because Christ rose again from the dead." Hope. Do you have that hope, expectation? You're not going to be disappointed. That kind of hope we are talking about. It is not depending on your power to keep your salvation. It says it is reserved. God is reserved. "I will make sure you will have, you will receive this salvation, your eternal life." God is the one who is keeping it, not us. It's not our power. It's not our power to keep the salvation. Our salvation is not by our work. It's by God's grace. That's why we do not be afraid. It's a fearless life. We have that. We are living with in the spirit of resurrection. We have the hope. We have the expectation. It is reserved for each one of us. And no one can change. No one can decay. No one can break, because the God, His mighty power, will make sure that every one of us will receive the eternal life. Firstly, Jesus Christ is telling us the truth. Secondly, that is not the end. Thirdly, next one will be, God loves us abundantly. Yes, salvation is ready and it is kept and reserved. You will receive. But on earth, not only that hope we have, but we have God's love. God's love. That's why we live a fearless life without being afraid, without being losing. Am I going to be loved? God's love. God loves us abundantly. That's why he died for us. Anybody could not, you know, anybody can die for somebody because they love them. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 said, but God demonstrated, he showed, demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It just didn't say, I love you and send you a postcard within a heart shape. But he died on the cross, saying with his arms outstretched, I love you so much, it really hurts. That much God has loved us, and God will love us. That's why we have reason to live the fearless life, the spirit of resurrection. That love, we can't even fathom his deep love. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 says, may you be able to feel and really understand how long and how wide, how deep and how high God's love really is. May you experience this love for yourself, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. That much God loves you. You know, I don't love you that much. I sometimes skip us, you know, pray, and I skip, you know, not reading the Bible. Sometimes I commit sin. Lord God, I'm sorry I don't love you that much. I will love you more than I will read. I will, you know, be, I will love my neighbor. I will forgive them. But that's what, that is not what it is. It is not that you love so much about, you know, God. It is not, you don't know how much God loves you. It's kind of hard, you don't even understand. Your problem is not that you don't love God enough. Your problem is you don't realize how much he loves you. You don't understand, you don't feel, you don't experience how much he really loves you. That is the problem. We have to know and remember. Because God loves us abundantly, that's why we can live fearless life, not being afraid every day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Another passage that I want to read it to you is 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, wherever God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out all fear. The antidote to fear in your life is not faith, but love. The antonym, antidote, but anonym, the opposite word for fear is not faith, but love. It means fear and love cannot exist, coexist and together. Because the more you feel God's love, the safer you will feel, completely accepted in his love. So let us replace more fears with more love. Once we have that love, we will have fearless life too. Wow, Jesus Christ is telling us the truth. He resurrected as he promised. That is not the end of the story. we will have everlasting life, and that salvation is secured, we will receive, it is reserved. But more than that, God loves us. It's not my problem that I don't love God so much enough. God, more than that, God loves us. That really makes me relieved. If I'm believing a lie, wow, that's too much. I don't have fear for death. But not only that, there is good thing. That God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son to save me. Fourth one, why can we now live fearless life? Because we know that God has a good plan for our lives. Good plan. I think I just read it before, but I want to remind you again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. God has a good plan for our lives because Jesus was raised from the dead. We have been given a brand new life. That is good plan. You know, every morning when you get wakes up, God's grace is abundant. Thank you, gave me another day, a brand new day, brand new Sunday, and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts right now. So your past has been forgiven, and right now you have a purpose for living. Not only that, you have a home in heaven, no fear of dying. That is a brand new life that we have, and that was God's plan. God's plan for not today, but tomorrow, and God's plan for our yesterday. It is all forgiven. Wow, that is much better life than any other people live their own life. That's why we need the spirit of resurrection. Lastly, wow, I don't have any fear because God will take care of whole thing, my life, your life, our lives. So don't be afraid. This is a fearless life that God has planned for us, for you and me. Last passage that I want to read is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through 34. It is was spoken to all those people at the Mount. It's a Sermon on the Mount, one of a passage that we always fond onto and we love to read. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? These things don't dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs, your worries, your concerns. Seek the kingdom of God above, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worry. And also, God's grace is always afresh tomorrow morning, as God has promised. Wow, Jesus is telling the truth. Don't have a fear of dying. More than that, God loves us, and God has a great plan for you. So don't be worried. That is a Sunday all about. It's a Sunday is that God has given us brand new life. Brand new life. So go out there without fear. Just love each other. Don't have any worries in your lives. And this is Easter Sunday message. Wow, what a great life we have because of this Easter Sunday. Can we read it all together? That scripture that we read. First one is 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Second one will be Romans chapter 8, verse 15. First one, let's begin. Jesus included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life is far better than people ever lived on their own. The old life is gone and new life emerged. Second one talks about what is the spirit of resurrection. Let's begin. The spirit of resurrection you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. So let's live, living fearlessly the spirit of resurrection. Can we pray together? Dear God, thank you for loving me even when I didn't recognize it. Thank you that you tell me the truth and death is not the end. Thank you so much that you love me abundantly. Thank you that you have a good plan for my life. And thank you that you have promised to take care of all my needs. So Lord, I want you to drain all those fears out of my life, Lord, and fill my life with your love, Lord. As best I know how, I am asking you, Jesus Christ, to put your spirit of love inside of me. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to change me. I'm asking for you to help me to live a fearless life. If you think that you've been saved and you have been loved by Lord God, and you will be able to say that, I thank you that you love me and you save me and you take care of my all sin, and you want to live life that God has given you a purpose to live, then I want to invite you for this Lord's Supper. This is a great moment this is symbolizing that we went to grave. Our all sins are forgiven. As Jesus Christ tore his body, it's symbolized in the breaking the bread. And he shed his blood, and the cup is symbolized for his death. But he has resurrected from all this death. If you believe this salvation, the God's salvific history, story about giving us life, I would like you to come join with me, and also we can have brothers and sisters. As a brothers and sisters, we can take part of this Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I receive from the Lord what I have also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. So I would like to take this moment, as Scripture has said it, don't take it too lightly. You have to be sure your salvation. You receive Jesus Christ as Lord Savior. I welcome you. I invite you. You are my brother and my sister. Let's take this in a loving, kind way. And let's search our heart if there is any fault, anything that is not supposed to, we should contain in our life, in our thoughts. Let's clear all those that and ask for forgiveness. And with that pureful heart and loving heart, and just remembering how Jesus Christ, how much he loves me, and he wanted to have this fearless life, the spirit of resurrection. I invite you who are saved truly and honestly to repent of your sin, are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intended to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort.